Hello there, and welcome to The Bitch Fix, a podcast for women who want to jam out on their lives, live in harmony with their hormones, and reclaim their mood, energy, and mojo. I'm Christine McCarroll, functional nutritionist and women's health straight talker, and I'm here to tell it like it is on all things health, happiness, and hormones for women. So shake off that cape, Superwoman, because we're here to launch this thing.
Well, hey girl, and welcome to episode 123 of The Bitch Fix. All right, you guys. So today we are going to get into talking about macros. But before we do that, I wanted to just give you a little bit of an update on my dry January. So as of this recording, it is still January 2022, and I am dry. I am not drinking any alcohol this month. And I've been posting about my experiments over on Instagram, and I've gotten a lot of cool suggestions. So thank you guys. Thank you everybody who has been sending me some suggestions on Instagram. It's been really helpful, and it's also been really fun. So I've just taken this opportunity to really be playful and experiment and enjoy what I'm doing. So rather than thinking of this as a deprivation exercise, I am thinking of it as an experiment. And I'm thinking of it as, how can I make this fun and interesting for myself instead of just like, oh, here's this thing where I have to tighten the belt. So I have been having a lot of fun playing with that. Something I don't know if I've ever shared on this podcast before, fun random fact about me, I used to be a bartender. So many years ago when I was in college in my 20s, maybe I shared this on the last dry January episode that I did in 2021, but I was a bartender on Austin, Texas. They have this famed street called Sixth Street, and I used to bartend down there. So I'm kind of just dusting that old, cape off. I've been experimenting and having fun and trying different combinations. And you guys have sent me some good suggestions, and it's been lots of fun. So if you want to follow along with what I'm doing, I'm posting in my stories on Instagram, what I am drinking this month. And over the weekends is usually when I have more fun experimenting. So you might want to go see what I'm doing. See if you check it out. All right. So in my group program this month, we are talking a lot about metabolism and some levers that we can pull to work with our metabolisms, especially for women who are getting into midlife. And the thing we were talking about this week was macros. And I really thought I should bring this to the podcast for a couple of reasons. The first reason is that I have never directly addressed this before. And whenever I think I've talked about something on the podcast, I will go back and just check, because sometimes I forget. I talk to a lot of people all the time, and sometimes I forget what I've directly said on the podcast. And so I went back and searched, and I realized that I had never talked about this. And I hadn't even really like sideways talked about it. I didn't kind of talk about this in relationship to something else, which is what I thought might have happened. So great opportunity for us to get into the topic of macros on the podcast. One other thing before I do that, I realized when I was looking that I don't know if I have shared on this podcast that on my website, you can find the transcript of all my podcasts. So if you are looking for something in particular, like I was, so I was looking for my own content and my own podcast. But if you are looking for something on my website, you can search, and there is a search feature that will let you search in the transcripts, so in the written words of everything that I've ever recorded a podcast on. So if you are interested in a particular topic, or you want to know if I have talked about something, or you have a question, that is a great resource for you. So you can go dig around in there and see if there is something that would be helpful. So just if you didn't know that, a little bit of information out there. Okay, so let's talk about macros. So I think about macros as kind of one of these foundational elements that I am always using and talking about. But I think about macros really differently from, I think, the way that they are done just kind of like out in the world at large. And I think this is maybe why I've never talked about it on the podcast, because I have been annoyed and I don't like the way that things are presented in the health field, in the wellness world, whatever you want to call it, certainly people have, there's plenty of people out there doing 1,000 kinds of diets that mess with macros. So there's people who do ketogenic diets. There's people who do just low carb diets. There's people who are doing high protein diets. There's people who are doing all kinds of different diet styles. And when I use the word diet, I'm just talking about the way that somebody eats, right? This isn't like necessarily always prescriptive of exactly what that's going to look like, but just like, okay, so keto is generally, it's gotten really popular in the last few years. It's generally a very high fat, kind of moderate protein, low carbohydrate diet, just as an example. So I think one reason why I haven't talked about it again is because I think everyone is maybe doing it really wrong. And that, as I've been thinking about some of these topics that I have thoughts about recently, and that the reason I haven't talked about it is because I think it's done wrong. I think that's actually, for me, that's the exact wrong reason to not talk about it. I think that's actually a good reason to talk about it so that we can shed light on how things are potentially misused and then how they could be used for benefit or for good as well. So I think any of these things that we use, literally almost anything that we use as humans, we are using things as a tool. And just about any tool could be used for harm or for help. So again, I think I've heard this example used, and I don't love this example, but just as an example, you could overdo water, right? Like you could drink so much water that you kind of drowned yourself, so to speak. Like you're not actually physically drowning, but you're hurting your body by drinking so much water. So it is possible to get anything that would be helpful to an extreme level that would be unhelpful. And a lot of the challenge is that there is gray zone with a lot of these tools. And some of these tools are used like really wrong, and some of them are used really badly and to torture ourselves, and some of them are used in ways that are really helpful. And what I don't think we do a good enough job of doing in this world, in this kind of wellness and health space, is addressing where there is gray zone and actually shining a light on saying, here is why this is a problem, but not using that as a reason to shy away, saying, how could we do it differently? How could we do it better? Could this be a useful tool in the right context? And I know people who've just even like left their whole mission or the industry or what they were doing because they felt so disgusted and frustrated by ways that the tools were used incorrectly. And I don't want to do that. So I want to look squarely in the face of any tool that is a tool and tell you about it and tell you how it might be used for benefit and how it maybe has been used for harm so that you can avoid that. So I think that with macros, one of the reasons why it can be potentially harmful is it can be part of a toxic diet culture. So I have on my list of podcast episodes for the next probably like month or 6 weeks or so to talk about, the diet culture, diet industry, weight loss as a concept, weight management, these things that, again, I have steered away from because I have seen how problematic they are and how problematic they can be for a lot of people, a lot of humans, a lot of women specifically. And I think that a lot of things are toxic in that culture, and a lot of things are toxic in the way that we talk about things. And that doesn't mean we shouldn't talk about anything that they are talking about. That means if we don't talk about it, maybe everyone is going to be out there trying to do this on their own and not doing it in a way that is helpful. So I think that with macros, usually the way that macros are discussed is within the context of a diet and or a weight loss plan. And for a lot of people, ongoing, lifelong, like people who are struggling with weight or with weight loss or different diets, kind of always going to the different diets all the time, I think that can be really harmful for people in a lot of different ways. So some of that is physical and some of that is psychological. And actually, I would say a lot of that is psychological. A lot of that can be very harmful and damaging, especially for women and especially for girls, and the constant barrage of messaging around right-sized, air quoting, right-sized bodies and what is appropriate or acceptable kind of from a larger social perspective. So I'm going to hold that conversation or that larger conversation for its own whole episode. And I wanted to stick with macros, but I don't want to come to macros without that context. So I want to just introduce your mind to that larger context that will be coming about, what do we do with diet culture? What do we do with how it can be toxic for people to constantly be in kind of a fighting relationship with their bodies. And that is one of the things that I see as being a challenge with macros. And it also is an opportunity. So there can be, again, challenge and opportunity. So one of the big problems with macros is, again, maybe the biggest elephant in the room is that it is potentially part of this larger issue around the diet culture and toxic diet culture. I'm going to be put very specific about that, just the way that it can be misused. And so that's the biggest problem I've had with it. The second problem, and this is my other like huge problem with it, is that it's an assumption that all macros are created equal. So it is looking at, we have this assumption that all calories, like a calorie is a calorie. So I've heard that before. There's nothing that makes me crazier than this idea that a calorie is a calorie. So now here's what I'm going to say. Here's something that macros get maybe a little bit right, is they are saying a calorie isn't just a calorie. It matters if it's, a protein or a fat or a carbohydrate. So maybe I should just start there with defining what macros even are. So macros are essentially, they are the three primary kind of categories that we can put foods into, or we can put nutrients maybe into. So protein is kind of a building block for most of our tissue in our bodies. So like muscle, hair, skin, right? A lot of that is mostly going to be protein. So protein is how we get that from our food. We get that from things like animal products, like meat, eggs, dairy. We can also see that being present in things like beans and nuts. Those are places where there is protein in our food. There are fats, which is probably the easiest thing for most people to wrap their heads around. So it's things like butter and oil, any kind of oil, any kind of, if it feels fatty, it's probably fatty. So those are our fats. And then again, we can have combinations of protein and fat. So like, for example, an 85-15 package of ground beef, that means that it is 85% protein and 15% fat. Right? So many of our foods come in these blends, and sometimes it's called out. Something like milk, same thing. Milk has protein in it. It also has fat in it. And actually, in the case of milk, it has some carbohydrate as well. So lactose is the kind of sugar that is in milk. So it's kind of like all of those foods together. All of those macros together come in milk. And then there are things that are straight carbohydrates. So carbohydrates are things like, usually they're the plant foods. So there are things like our, beans and nuts, again, have carbohydrate as well as protein and or fat. So usually not as much in nuts. Nuts are usually like mostly protein and fat. But carbohydrates are also in things like fruits and vegetables. Those are carbs. And then certainly where we see the biggest problems in kind of the modern Western diet is in carbohydrates that are highly processed. So like refined sugars, refined flours, processed grains, any of those are also carbohydrates. So what is helpful, so what macros maybe get a little bit right, is addressing the fact that a calorie is not just a calorie. A calorie is information, right? So any food that we eat, so the way that we get calories into our body is with food. And food is fuel. So you can look at it, here's a calorie and it is fuel and it's going to give my body something to work with, to build upon. But it's also information, right? So it's information for our bodies and it is something that can be used differently. So a calorie, if you're thinking about a calorie as just a measurement of energy, yes, that is a way that we measure energy. It's a somewhat myopic view of what a calorie is, but it is a kind of at its most basic form, it's energy. And so for people who are using macros or counting macros, one of the primary concepts is that we do use different macros differently in the body. So a calorie of fat gives different information, different signaling to our bodies, and is used differently than a calorie of sugar, right? So a calorie of white table sugar is different information than a calorie of butter to our bodies. Our bodies are going to take that information and do different things with it. So that is what macros get right. However, I think that the macro world at that point falls into the same landmine as the calorie people. So when we're saying a calorie is just a calorie, and then the macro people say, oh no, that's not right. It's different. We use different macros differently. They still fall into the trap of saying that a macro is a macro. So this is just the next level down of saying, like, it doesn't matter where your protein comes from. If it's protein, it's protein. And this is why people like it, to be honest. So people who've maybe been in toxic calorie counting diet mode, they like the freedom that they find with macros. They don't have to count every single calorie. They're looking for kind of grams of macros. And because our bodies do respond differently to different kinds of macros, they might be seeing their immediate results, and not everybody does, but they might be seeing some of their immediate results of some shifting in weight loss and then feel like, oh, this is great. We got this right. Right. But the problem again with the macros is that if we're saying that a macro is a macro, it's very similar to saying a calorie is a calorie. And just like my example of saying that a calorie of white sugar is not the same as a calorie of butter to your body, very much the same with our macros. So again, a piece of fruit is carbohydrate, a Twinkie is carbohydrate, kale is a carbohydrate, and a Twinkie is a carbohydrate, or a Snickers bar, or whatever you want to put into that bank. You can say that's a carb. And so this is why people who are, again, their calorie counters, they like it. So there's a little bit less counting, and where they've maybe felt restricted on the kinds of foods that they're eating, they feel like they don't have to restrict anything with macros. Or like, there's this whole group that's, I think it's like, if it fits your macros is what it's called. And they are telling themselves and each other, if it fits in your macros, if it's a macro, it doesn't matter what kind of food it is. And so a lot of people do find a lot of freedom in this. They're like, okay, well, it doesn't really matter. This macro of me eating, I'm trying to think of a good example. Jelly beans is going to be the same as me eating a sweet potato. And for that plan, for that structure, it does quote unquote fit, and that makes it equal. But just like it's not equal there, it's not equal here. And because again, food is giving our bodies more information than calories and more information than macros. Right? So the information that our bodies are receiving from eating a sweet potato is going to be different from the information that it receives from having having just straight sugar, right? So first of all, there are a lot of kind of cofactors in there. So there's other nutrients that come along with any macro. So again, there are many vitamins and minerals and even phytonutrients and fiber and other kinds of unique pieces of information that come in a sweet potato that are absent from a jelly bean, right? And we are going to respond differently to those macros when we are, again, thinking about it in the context of those two things. So my big problem is toxic diet culture in just a new wolf in sheep's clothing. Then potentially there is this other question of using it the wrong way and thinking that all of the macros are the same. And then the third reason why I think that there is a problem with the way that we're using macros is that we act like all of the answers are in just some sort of static numbers. So again, this is still falling into somewhat of the trap of calories. Now, here's the deal, you guys. As I was preparing for this and I was thinking about it and I was thinking about how I share this information also again, like in my more specific group program where I'm going into some details about how to calculate some things, It's also potentially a disservice to pretend like numbers don't exist. So if we pretend like it doesn't matter, I'm going to give the example of the keto world. So in the keto world, if it's like, it's like fat doesn't even count. You can just have as much fat as you want. Or a lot of people think that. Not everybody thinks that, but a lot of people think that. Like, just eat all the fat and it doesn't matter as long as it isn't carbohydrates. As long as it's not sugar, it's fine. You eat as much as you want. And so there is a place to consider where amount and quantity can be important. So I think it can be toxic to obsess about numbers. It can be toxic to only look at numbers or to think that all of the answers are only in numbers, which is where I think sometimes, again, macros are falling short. We are looking at ourselves on the page and we're not paying attention to our own biofeedback about how these particular numbers are shifting our experience, our lived experience in our own bodies. So this is where we can get, again, kind of get wrong and sideways in something like a macros world, as we are looking at it as just being this static thing where if we follow these rules, everything's going to work. And by everything, I mean, usually typically what people are looking for is weight loss, right? So I do think that it can be helpful to think of some numbers and think about a framework as a starting point. I don't think it's helpful to obsess about it and try and get it all like into a tiny box, because that is not how our bodies work. So the fourth thing that I think is a problem with the way that macros are done is that they are used in a static fashion. So that means that once you've kind of figured out, you've decided what your macros are, it's all very static. It's just like, here's what your macros are. Like, how could there be anything different? It's just what your macros are. And that is not how our bodies work, you guys, especially as women and especially as any woman who still has a cycle. Now, I will say this is true for even women who are postmenopausal. So I definitely still advocate for doing cyclical sort of living for women who are postmenopause, but it is even more apparent. It is very, very clear for women who are cycling that our bodies are different at different parts of our cycles. And so the kind of picture that we're using, if we're looking at macros and we're using any sort of macro calculator, we're looking at numbers, if we are assuming that it's just the same based on just that calculator, we are not taking into account the fact that our metabolisms shift across our menstrual cycle. So we actually use different amounts of energy. We use a different amount of energy in the luteal phase, which is in the second half of your cycle between when you ovulate and when you have your period, than we use at the beginning. So we use a certain amount of fuel at the beginning of our cycle, typically a little bit less, actually. We use a little bit less fuel at the beginning of our cycle. So from when you start your period until you ovulate, we use a little bit more fuel from ovulation until the end of the cycle. We also respond to our macros differently. So we respond to insulin, our blood sugar regulating hormone, differently in different parts of our cycle. We respond then to carbohydrates and fat differently in different parts of our cycle. So again, if we are just looking at something static, like it, if it fits your macros, we are not taking into account those differences. We're also not taking into account any differences in how we're moving our bodies, right? So there might be days or periods where you are exercising more intensely, and then days or periods where you're exercising less intensely. There is some little toggle in some of the macro calculators I've seen where it says kind of generally, like, are you sedentary or are you working out a lot? Doesn't really take any of that into account. And it's not really also taking into account what we can be doing to our metabolism. So it's really focused only on weight loss and not the larger hormonal and metabolic picture. So those are the reasons why I get a little bit, I get my bristles up. I get a little bit, my hackles, that's the word I was looking for. I get my hackles up. I get a little bristly when somebody is trying to tell me that macros are the answer or that macros are the only reason or the only good thing. But I do think, again, that we don't necessarily have to throw the baby out with the bathwater. So just because some people are using macros as a tool, as a way to harm themselves, or they are maybe not getting precise enough with macros or thinking about it clearly enough, that actually doesn't mean that macros aren't important. And we can also do ourselves a disservice if we, again, just throw all of this out and we say it doesn't matter whatsoever if it's, you know, it doesn't matter where we're getting our calories from. So it's going back to that first mistake if we just fall into that trap of a calorie is a calorie. But it's also not serving us to say that what macros we get in our food doesn't matter. So here is how I would propose that we think about macros. The first one is that we can think about macros as just being the different kinds of fuel that they are. And this is where, like I said, I do think that the macro counting people did get this piece right, that we're thinking a little bit about some of the direct impact of this fuel, maybe just not thinking deeply enough. I do also credit macros people for helping a lot of people increase their protein, because I think for women in particular, protein is one of the hardest macronutrients for us to get right. Most of us are drastically under eating protein. So here's a way that I think about in like the context of maybe a car, how you might think about this as different kinds of fuel, right? And I'm not going to exactly tell you which of these is which, but there are three different kinds of liquids that I know of that go into a car. Now, you guys, I'm not a mechanic, so I don't know everything that goes into a car, but I'm just going to give you the three examples here, right? So we have gas. That's what we think about most, because that's what's constantly having to be replenished. Like every week, probably, if you're driving a lot, if not more frequently, you got to go get some gas, right? We have to go put gas into the car to make it go. However, if we didn't put any of these other liquids into the car, it still wouldn't run. If you're only ever putting gas in, it's not going to run, right? So then there is also oil. So you know that you have to get your oil changed periodically. And depending on what kind of car you have, there's different kinds of oil. There's synthetic oils and different grades, and I don't even know all the kinds. But you don't have to change your oil every week. This isn't like gas where it just runs out and you have to put more in. You kind of keep this baseline of oil in there. Periodically, you might have to get it topped up or changed. And so going to get your oil changed is something that might happen every certain amount of miles or distance or time for your car. So oil changing is something else that has to happen. The other liquid I was thinking about is coolant. So coolant, again, I don't know all the ins and outs. So if somebody is like a master mechanic out there and rolling their eyes, I'm sorry that I don't know the ins and outs of cars. But coolant, as far as I understand it, is to keep your engine cool, right? So if you were especially like, let's say somebody who's driving in a really hot area, maybe in the US, you're like in Phoenix or something, and it's crazy hot, and you need to make sure that you have engine coolant so that your engine doesn't overheat and leave you stranded by the side of the road. Now, it's important to have the right amount of all of those fuels going into your car. You're not going to substitute gasoline for oil. You're not going to put oil in your gas tank. You're also not going to be putting oil in your windshield wiper reservoir, right? We're going to need special wiper fluid for that. So you need different kinds of these inputs for different areas of your car, and it responds differently. So putting a huge amount of gas in the car isn't going to make it run better. It's not going to help. And in fact, if we were flooding the engine, it might cause a problem. It might make it not run, right? So we can do this with our fuel too. We can overdo certain kinds of fuel, and it's not better. It just means that it's kind of flooding the engine or causing a problem. If we have so much oil that the oil is spilling out of the, I don't even know where it goes, oil reservoir, and it's spilling all over the insides of your car, that's also not good. We don't need that much oil. We also don't want the oil mixing up with the gas in the gas tank, right? So just that way, we have different kinds of fuel that our bodies need and use for different things. So we need all of these different kinds of fuel. It's all information. It doesn't all go in the same place, and we need different amounts in different places. So thinking about what's an appropriate ratio, I think can be part of establishing a health framework in general. This could mean weight loss. It could mean metabolism, which is not necessarily the same thing as weight loss, even though we lump them in the same category. It could mean hormone balance. It could mean something like, I've had several clients recently who are experiencing some hair loss, right? And I will tell you that the nutrients, those micronutrients, and even the kinds of nutrients that we're getting from our macros really matters for something like, does your hair have the right resources, right? If you don't eat any protein, I just told you we need proteins to build a hair follicle, just like we need proteins for building skin. If we are short on those building blocks, if we're short on those materials, it isn't going to work very well. So the first thing that we might want to think about is that food is fuel and information. And if something isn't working in your car, in your body, maybe there is a place to look, which is what's going into those different areas. Do we have the fuel that we need? Do we have the gas that we need, the oil and the coolant? Now, there's many more things than that, but just do we have those basics? So if you think about your body, not just as like, you know, a piggy bank where it's like a certain amount of calories goes in and we burn a certain amount. If you think about it as more of like a chemistry lab or a car or anything else that uses multiple factors, it has multiple factors. You can kind of think about it as this whole ecosystem, right? And so macros and thinking about that macro ratio is a part of this larger ecosystem. So it's part of this framework. These are like the big rocks that we can start to move and play with when we're trying to adjust things like our metabolisms or like our hormone balance. And so they're big levers. They are not the be all and end all, but it is a part. It would be foolish to deny that they are part of the ecosystem or part of that framework, and maybe even a really big part of that framework. So if you use it as that, if you use it as a framework, as a starting point, as part of an ecosystem, and you're thinking about it that way, that's going to be a really much more useful way to think about this tool, because then you can start to start with a baseline and then toggle from there, play with it from there, and find out how your particular ecosystem is going to respond. What is the biochemistry in your body going to do with this different input? So you have your unique body. This is why also just something where it's just, we act like it's just the numbers. It doesn't necessarily take into account everything that's true for you and your health and your body. Maybe you're dealing with an autoimmune condition. I certainly have many, many clients who have autoimmune conditions. So if you're dealing with something that's autoimmune, your body is going to use your resources differently. Maybe you have diagnosed hypothyroidism. Again, your body is going to use your resources differently. Maybe you have a challenge with your kidneys. Again, body going to use resources differently. So we start with a framework. We start with the big rocks here, and then we see how your ecosystem responds. So that is kind of my primary way of doing this. The second thing that I think we can do that is really beneficial when considering macros is to not be static. So again, if we're looking at busting the things that are going wrong with people who are in the macros world, again, thinking about things as static is a problem. So anytime that we are doing the same thing day in, day out, we are creating a static situation. And what we're doing is getting inflexible. So we're entrenching something. And when the less that we are flexible and the more that we are entrenched, the less we are able to shift when things need to, and we're going to create more problems, right? So I'll give you an example. I have an old mattress that really needs to be replaced. It's like, I don't know, 16 years old, I think at this point. It is terribly old. It really needs to be replaced. And one of the ways that I know that my mattress needs to be replaced is that there is literally a human-sized kind of crater for me and a human-sized crater for my husband. And there's not like a smooth mattress surface, right? It has these two dents in it because that is where we've been laying. So we've created this static space, and that isn't good, right? As we were the same all the time, we kind of got entrenched, and that's where our bodies go. It's not good. I read a book. I'm not even going to tell you this book because I don't want anyone to go buy it. But this woman was proposing that, like, you know, she was talking about some insulin and hunger hormones and some things that are at play biochemically. I appreciated that part of what she was writing, and that she was really thinking about biochemistry in a body. She was also telling her own personal story, and that she was somebody who had to go really low calorie to lose weight. And so she was telling her weight loss story. And all she did was every time she would hit a plateau is just cut her calories even more. She was not thinking about macros very much. She was not thinking about what kinds of food or quality of food. All she was doing was every time she was cutting and cutting and cutting and cutting. And she was proposing, the reason I was so appalled by this, is she's kind of proposing that this is what other people need to do. Like, oh, if you're stuck, just keep cutting. All that's doing is getting more and more entrenched in something that is a problem. So this is like if you had, you know, cut off the circulation in your leg and you had a tight belt on there and you just kept pulling that belt tighter and tighter and tighter and tighter. You're like, oh, not tight enough, not tight enough. You're not solving the problem. All we are doing is making it more entrenched, and we're going to have a deeper and deeper dent right there. It isn't It isn't helping. So when we do anything the same all the time, when we do anything constantly without any cycling, we are creating problems. So we really need to be thinking about how do we create flexibility, not how do we create this entrenched inflexibility where things are the same all the time. And that problem that we see, the symptoms that we see, are often a problem created by things being static. So we need to think about how do we cycle this? How do we cycle with our menstrual cycle? For women who are cycling, how do we cycle with our exercise? How do we cycle with our movement? How do we cycle with our life and what we're doing? How do we cycle even where we are getting more and less sleep? How do we respond at different parts of our life? So our life cycle. So as women get older in particular, for example, we tend to get more insulin resistant, which means we're not responding to sugars and carbohydrates the same way. So we have to take into consideration these cycles, these life cycles, these monthly cycles, these hormone cycles, everything has to be taken into consideration. And so if we just acknowledge that, we can have a much better result from our consideration of macros. And then the last thing we have to do is actually two things. I lied. The second to last thing we have to do is look at where are we actually getting other nutrients. So I've talked about micronutrients before, and this being one of the most important parts of what we're getting from our food. So our micronutrients. So besides, if we can't just put the spotlight all on those macros, which is just the big categories, protein, fat, and carbs, we have to be thinking about our micronutrients, which is our vitamins, our minerals, even again, like those things like our phytonutrients, fiber. All of those things also matter. And so we have to look at what is the quality of the food that we're eating. Are we getting those nutrients from the food that we're eating, or is it just meeting some sort of macro number? So we have to look at the nutrients that we're getting from our food. And then the last piece, maybe the very most important piece, is checking in with your particular body. So how is your body responding to these things when we play around? Do you have good energy? Can you think clearly? Is your brain fog clearing up? Are you seeing some of those physical changes you want to see? It's not always going to be reflected on a scale, but are you seeing some of those physical changes you are interested in? That can be part of the picture. I'm not going to deny that. What's happening with your menstrual cycle? Is your period getting all wonky? That would definitely be a sign that things are not working. If your menstrual cycle is coming back or getting aligned, that's going to be a sign that hopefully things are working, right? How is your sleep? This is a huge, huge one, you guys. If your sleep is messed up, definitely something can be messed up with what you're doing with playing with macros. So going super, super low carb, for an example, is something that can significantly impair a woman's sleep. So harder time getting to sleep, harder time staying asleep. So we need to be looking at how our bodies are responding and not just what the numbers are on a piece of paper. And then when we know how our bodies are responding, we can take it back to that piece of paper or that calculator or whatever and start to play with that and start to consider how we might change things in a way that is going to be supporting us, because we have that information and we are not looking outside of ourselves as a be-all end-all, just on some sort of number. We are asking ourselves how we're feeling, how we're responding, and just kind of overall, is this going to be working for you? So those are my big concepts. This is about what we can do wrong and what we can do right with one particular area of the wellness world, which is macros. I'm going to be diving into more of these things over the next month. And so tag along. I will be sharing more of this content with you. Last thing is, I mentioned this last week, but if you haven't already, if you would give this show a rating or review, if any of this is helpful, if it's been useful for you to listen in on these conversations, it's going to be useful for other women, and your ratings and reviews really help other people discover this. It also helps me know what you're interested in and how I can help you. So if you give me feedback on what you like in the show, other things that you want to hear, I always love to hear that, and I can bring that content to you. So I hope you guys have a good rest of your week and weekend. Come find me on Instagram if you want to hear about my dry January experiments, and I will see you next time. Hey, if you've been on the hormonal roller coaster and want to know how to put the theories and strategies shared on this podcast to work for your body, I want to invite you to join me in my program, The Bitch Fix in 6 Steps to Happy Hormones. I'll help you heal your hormones naturally so you can get your mood, energy, and mojo back and live the badass life you were designed for. This is the work I've done with hundreds of women, and it can work for you too. To learn more, go to thebitchfixin6.com. I can't wait to meet you inside.